From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
All right, we're back with another episode of PDGA Radio. I'm Steve Hill, joined by Sarah Sinclair. Sarah, we had a week off. I'm sure the people missed our voices. So we are going to get things started. We're going to talk Discraft Great Lakes Open. We're going to be joined by the lovely and talented Ellen Widboom. And, you know, that's going to be the show this week. It should be fun. Sarah, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. We had a pretty exciting off week last week. I won't go into a lot of detail.
You guys, no. I mean, this is what the people come for. A medical front, a two-pronged medical approach. One for Sean and one for you, kind of, right?
What was mine?
You said you went and got yourself, you know, tested for...
Oh, yeah.
For the COVID. I'm glad you don't have it, thankfully.
I forgot about it. It's just out of my brain now. They touched my brain with.
I was gonna say that's.
Q-tip, yeah. Speaking of which, yeah. So I was feeling just very exhausted and had. I don't know if it was like me making it up, and I had gone to the gym. It's all group fitness for like a month, and numbers in our cases in our county have been on the rise. Blah blah blah, and I don't know if it was like my brain just saying like, you have a sore throat, you have a headache, and you're feeling. Much more exhausted than normal. You should go get tested. So I was like, why not? And so I went and they touched my brain and my eyes watered. And I found out a few days later that I am negative. So
well, that's better good. Safe than that's sorry. I'm very happy to hear that. I mean, that is kind of one of those hard things, right? Like it's like, do I just have allergies or do I have this very contagious thing? But, and then apparently Sean turns 50 and can't do athletics anymore, right? Is that
well,
the headline?
Okay, so I think I talked. Yeah, so the last episode we talked about us building a home gym. It's great. I love it. It saves time. Sean creates the programming. If you're interested in the programming, let me know because we've got it all. We live our life in Google Docs and Google spreadsheets, and we're putting all of the programming out there. And it's whatever. So let me know. Hit me up on Instagram, sarahlambeau.sinclair, and I can send you the Google Doc. Very good. So anyway, so he builds a box for box jumps, and it's got three different. So the way that it's built is you can put it on a different side, and it goes anywhere from 20 inches, and on the highest side, I believe, is all the way up to 30 inches. And 20 inches for me is like my comfort zone max.
Sure.
And so we're doing this workout that he programmed, and it's like 50 squats. Five box jumps, 40 something else, five box jumps, 30 something else, five box jumps. And I had finished that whole part and that was now doing the strength part of the workout. So I was in the garage and he was in the driveway a few feet away. And I hear him miss the box on the concrete. And I'm like, oh God, you know, because you never know. You could hit your knee, you could hit your face, whatever.
Clearly your driveway is flat.
Yes.
Okay.
So he comes around the corner. And if you do not like gruesome, bloody things, you should probably mute now or skip ahead a couple minutes. I'll give you time to do that. Okay, so now he comes around the corner and I see just blood running down his shin and I see bone. And I'm like, oh my God, hospital now. And he just sits down, takes it like a total champ. But I'm like running around the house. I find a bath towel so he can wrap his leg up to sop up all the blood. And for some reason I have like multiple boxes of gauze and tape and stuff. I don't know why I had it on hand, but luckily we did. And we go to urgent care, sit there for 45 minutes because people are coming in and out to get COVID tested. We get back there and the nurse practitioner is like, this is too severe. I can't take care of this here.
Oh my gosh.
And so then we have to go to the ER and he gets in right away. So he, suffice it to say, he's got 10 stitches. It's weird. It's like in the shape of like a horseshoe shape.
Yeah, it's like a U shape.
Like
yeah.
If you really, like if you're shark bite,
if you really want to be grossed out, Sean is at Froth Pro on Instagram and he posted the photo.
Well, he posted it like as a two photo post. So the first one is a video of me running on the treadmill.
Yeah. You got to swipe.
And then you have to swipe over. So find the video of me running on the treadmill.
Here's what I learned about Instagram. Because I think at one point I'd seen his post of you running. I was like, okay, cool. Sarah's running post.
But then
I backed out of Instagram, went back in later, and it automatically went to his gruesome leg post.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's got 10 stitches, of very high gauge thread or whatever they use. And he is not supposed, so that happened last Monday. So 8 days ago now. And the doctor was like, you may not do anything for 2 weeks. So of course he didn't do anything for 1 week, and now he's doing things.
Of course.
Not box jumps. He has severe PTSD from that, and I do as well. So I was like, we're not going to be programming that into
get him some shin guards. Like he's a soccer player.
So we got very excited about the box because it was another piece of equipment for the gym. And what we didn't have patience to do was sand down the edges of the box. And then he got like rubberized paint to kind of dull the edges even more. So that's the next step. But
basically, you hadn't look, if you guys had kids, you had kids, you guys would have known that you needed to childproof this.
Yeah.
With Sean rubberized corners and stuff. Yeah. So no, I joke, but man, I'm it's glad he's okay, because
it's the worst
like
injury I've ever seen in person. And same with him. Yeah. And he's had like multiple surgeries and things, and it was horrible.
Well, I'm glad he's at least on the mend, and as much as I may joke, I have much love for Sean, so I'm glad he's okay. And well, I'm glad you had an eventful week. We just ended up staying home. We didn't even go on our trip because we were too, like, we just didn't feel comfortable doing traveling and stuff. So we went to the beach one day and went paddleboarding, and pretty low key otherwise. But ready to get back into it with some disc golf this weekend. Let's go through a couple bits of PGA related news, and then we'll talk to Ellen. So, I told people earlier this month that we're just going to beat you over the head until you vote in the PGA elections. So this is me administering another dose of that. Please go vote in the PGA elections. Check your email. You should have an email with your ballot. I think we are like trending upward. We're up to like 16% participation, which is better than last year. Very excited about that. We still have about 10 days by my account that you can vote. I finally cast my ballot because I was having decision-making problems. Just go vote, people. Please be a participant in the PGA elections. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm figuring you're probably pretty tuned into PGA stuff anyway. So, but if you haven't voted yet, go do that, please. Right, Sarah?
Do it.
Be a Democratic citizen.
Anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to do it again next week. But next week will be the last time I remind people. And then speaking of other things going on, we just put out an article with some updates that are going to be released next year for like the rule book and the competition manual. So this is your chance to kind of look at some of the rules changes that are coming and to give us feedback in a very reasonable, rational, polite fashion. Definitely not the kind of fashion where you would yell at us or anything. And really, there's not huge changes. One's about kids being supervised by adults, like stuff like that. There is some information about the tobacco policy and some other updates to question and answer things. So without going through all of that, because that would probably be an entire podcast in and of itself, go check it out. It's on the front page of the PGA website. You can leave a comment on the article if you have some feedback, or if you go into the contact form on the PGA website, you can drop it down to like the rules committee, the competition committee, things like that. We obviously, as a membership-driven organization, we want people's feedback on this. We do have time to make adjustments before these rules go into effect. And so obviously, if there is something that seems egregiously crazy or something like that, we can adjust, but I don't think we need to. I think they're pretty good. Sarah, do you have any insight into that? Cause isn't Sean on the competition committee?
He is. I got bits and pieces of things today.
Yeah. You got any background? You got any intel for us? Anything that the people need to know, or is it pretty much just, it's pretty straightforward.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure it's something I'm allowed to share. This might be the,
all right. Perfect.
Good. I never know what I just, by default, I just keep my mouth closed about all PDGA things that I hear in this house. So.
That's probably the safer way to do
yes.
it. No state secrets, unfortunately. Right. No, but anyway, this is all pretty above board stuff. Hazard area change to language. Like, it's nothing big. So go check that out over on the site right now. And then another reminder that if you want to show your PDGA colors, hashtag PDGA colors, you might be able to win a membership for next year. And everyone loves free stuff. Sarah, again, I think you're not eligible to win. I'm sorry. But if you have more PDGA stuff you want to post, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sure we'll find more things laying around the house.
Yeah. I'm surprised Sean didn't like try and slap a PDGA logo on the box jump or anything.
I mean, yeah, we should probably just cover all the edges with stickers at this point. I don't know if the box will ever be used as a for box.
No, jump. He'll have to conquer it someday.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
gonna be like
he
one
will.
Of those.
He
it's
will.
Like the mountain that he has to climb. And then Sarah, while I was gone, there was a new ratings update. What do you got on the ratings front?
Yeah, so Paige Pierce hit her all-time high and all-time high for a female, 988. So she's just like inching up toward that 40.
That wasn't
summer.
Even an inch. That was like, she went up like 6 points, I think, this time, didn't she? It was a pretty good jump for her.
Yeah, it was a pretty good jump.
Eight points.
Oh, wow. Okay, I was thinking that it was a round number. Yeah.
Six so is we'll a round see. Number.
I mean, with a zero.
Oh, okay,
980
sorry.
To a 988.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, and then the other big one was what?
Paul McBeth is at 1062.
Yep, another day, another Paul McBeth record.
I know.
We say it so casually. I'm sorry.
I know.
I know Paul and Hannah listen to this, and they're probably like, "Dude, give me some props. We love you, Paul.
All the props.
You know." You impress us still, and you're probably going to shoot 25 under par in one round this weekend at Deagle. So that's my prediction. Put it down now.
All right. Beth,
25 under par. Sarah, you are slaying the ratings game, holding steady at 9/11 because you haven't had any events. So good job on not having your rating fall.
I'm holding steady, and it actually allowed me to register for the women's US championship.
Yes.
On Monday. Yesterday.
That's awesome. I'm stoked that you're playing, and then
I
heard where and as I'm looking at your page here,
for
someone wasn't gonna play this season, you got four events on your schedule.
And Music City Open. What's my fourth event? Am
it's
I signed up for
Jonesboro
already? Okay, I wasn't sure if I registered for that already. My brain is pure mush. Work has been very difficult lately. Lots of pressure from my CEO. I won't go into
like
all
it.
Of that.
All right. Well, that's hopefully you can, you know, not bring the mush to the course. Yeah. Keep that rating going up.
Yes.
So yeah, that's good stuff. Those are big records from Paul and Paige, and then a big jump from Sarah Hokum. Sarah Hokum now the number two rated women's player, and her highest ever, I believe, at 975. So really, just like a lot of big moves, man. Everyone is just getting back on the course and crushing it.
Yeah, I mean, I still feel like we're still very freshly out of off-season 2.0, and people haven't really. I don't know. I think our conversations haven't settled on the typical few people yet, that things are kind of still fluid and we don't really know who's going to end the season super strong. I think it's still kind of a toss up, but as we're getting back into the regular season, I think it'll be interesting to see how things kind of shake out.
Yeah. I think it's nice to have, you know, a little bit of a shakeup at the top. I think we saw Sarah Hokum kind of, you know, she transitioned to MVP and it maybe took a little bit of time for her to get back up and running. But now that it's been she's in her second full season now mm-hmm. with MVP, I think we're seeing the benefits of that. So good for her. Very, very exciting stuff.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. Let us have our friend Ellen on the show because, you know, we haven't had her before, which is crazy. And So we'll have a nice chat with Ellen, and then we'll come back and we'll talk Discraft Great Lakes Open. So we'll be back here in just a moment on PDJ Radio. All right, joining us on the show now, we always seem to like talk about her and give her shout outs. So I'm happy to finally have her on the show. It is Ellen Widboom. Ellen, thank you for joining us. How's it going?
Hello. Yeah, thanks for having me. I got the text a couple hours ago and was really stoked to finally be on the show.
Yeah.
I love you guys.
Well, we appreciate your time. We know it's busy being back out on the road. Kind of wanted to talk about some of that and the season ramping back up and your expectations for this weekend. So, I mean, what were you doing with your downtime? That's like the main question I ask everybody right now. You know, when everything kind of shut down, where'd you go? What'd you do? How'd you keep yourself busy?
Well, I was in Florida. I kind of was doing what I did the year prior. I think I wanted to stay in Florida for the off season and then kind of let the initial season come to me. That's the best way to phrase it. I was waiting for Throwdown, the series of like 3 A-tiers that were going to happen in Florida. I skipped Vegas and Texas. I like those tournaments, but it just made more financial sense and travel sense to stay in Florida.
And then they all got canceled.
And there you go. And I was literally out on the course for Throwdown on 18, looking to throw up the cliff. And my sister calls me and said, "Did you hear?" And I'm like, "What?" And she said, "Everything's like, it's canceled." Like it's, and I couldn't believe it. I was on hole 18 and really gearing up for the weekend. It was going to be the first real big tournament to start me back on the tour. And I get a phone call and it was just like, well, I'm going to finish playing and maybe come out tomorrow just for fun because the course is still set up and they let people come. And then the trickle effects of everything starting to cancel, not just in Florida. And it was like, all right, now I need to start getting a game plan. And my parents were nice enough to say, hey, if you need to stay here, if you want to stay here, you can for as long as you need to. Got a room for you. Just don't spread out your stuff too much. So yeah, I stayed in Florida with my parents and helped them out during the COVID stuff. They're kind of a higher risk category, a little bit older, with some health issues. And I did the grocery shopping. I would go run errands. And while doing that for the first couple weeks, actually, it was just nothing. I mean, I practiced a little bit, ran some errands, really probably like everyone trying to grasp what exactly was going on and just getting more seemed like bad news every day. So you're just trying to stay sane and focus on, hey, this isn't going to be forever. This will end. So let me get a plan in place for when it does end or at least starts to slow down, how to get back on the road. So yeah, I think I was there for a total of like 7 months. And in that time I set up a mini 9 holes, I think 10 hole disc golf course on the 5 acres that we have. I had three baskets.
Nice.
So I just put tee pads. I had 3 different stations and they shot back and forth to each of the baskets. So I got practice with that, like wooded shots. And then my friend Tim and I, we actually decided to do P90X like 2 together. So we completed the whole 90 days.
That's
during
awesome.
Quarantine, which I've never done before. I've never finished a workout program. I don't think in my life, like I've always started, I've never actually finished one. So shout out to Tim. Thanks. That was a lot of fun. We kept each other accountable and whatnot. And yeah, I was like, I just want to stay healthy and start eating right.
So you're ripped. You're ripped now. You get back out on the road with
ripped.
The P90X body. Yeah.
It definitely helped with the stamina, especially coming up north with all these hills and a little bit of elevation. But Sarah, you'll appreciate this. I've actually been mostly vegetarian since like November.
Hey-o.
Yeah,
awesome.
Every once in a while, I'll eat meat. I'm not against it, eating meat. It's just kind of like I've cut it out for the most part. And I've actually done those like vegan sausages that you were talking about. Man, I found some really cool options of how to like supplement protein in the diet and just feeling full and getting enough nutrition. So it's been a lot of fun and a really neat challenge. And yeah, and then I actually picked up some part-time work. A friend of mine that I'd known forever since I was like right after I was born, she was redoing her house, something with her, her dad was a little bit older and he was stuck in an assisted living facility. So they wanted to get him out of there. And so she helped him move back into his old house, but we had to renovate it.
Oh, wow.
So I learned so many cool things over the process of like a month and a half. I helped do the plumbing and the demolition and drywall and electricity and little things here and there. I did a whole bunch of gardening work and landscaping. It filled the time, and I really wanted to help out anyway. And it was really great to reconnect with her because it had been a long time since her and I had actually just kind of hung out. So yeah, it was a really productive, fun second off season, I guess. And I practiced almost every day. I did that putting challenge, which was awesome to see everybody else out there and their the videos. So there was a lot went on.
That's awesome.
All right. I have a quick divergence from our list of questions. I apologize, Sarah, but I need to circle back to this like vegetarian thing. How do you, this is a question for both of you, really. Yeah. Although Sarah, I don't know how long it's been since you've eaten this, but how do you not eat years. How do you not eat bacon?
That's
had to make bacon today, and it's
delicious. The bacon.
Is it like, how's it compare?
I have no idea. Actually,
bacon, you haven't had it in 15 years. Bacon, Ellen, how's it compare?
The whole reason that I gave up meat, so it's easy for me not to have bacon.
I've had fake bacon, whatever you want to call it, a couple times. I think it's still got kind of the taste of regular bacon. I think the texture is what's kind of maybe missing. But I had bacon the other day on like a breakfast sandwich. I mean, it was like two strips of it. And I'm just like, whatever. Like it came with the sandwich. I'm not really adverse to it. I just like the challenge of trying to find other things. And I actually feel better. I have more stamina out on the course. I feel like I'm mentally more focused. And I've actually, and Sarah, you probably get this too, like I've noticed some more like definition with muscles even, and I wasn't even like trying. It's just because of the stuff that I've cut out and added. So yeah, it's been a really cool, fun journey with that stuff.
Awesome. Well, if you need any more ideas, I eat about 135 grams of plant-based protein per day. So...
Nice. I still want to do the protein fluff that you do. I saw that video you did, and I've just never had like access to a food processor, but man, it was good.
Hey, I'll make it for you when you come for Music City Open. Woo! I've been having it for breakfast recently, so I just had it. It's like ice cream for breakfast. It's delicious.
Every time you
if anyone else, now we're talking about nutrition. If anyone else,
I'm listening to ice cream for breakfast.
GetGritty.Nutrition on Instagram. Yeah. You should go check it out if you're listening. All right. Anyway, so total sidetrack there. Well, while we're on the subject, I've got two follow-ups. So one, I was going to say before we even got on this line of questioning that in my opinion, you're one of the more fit ladies on tour. And I know last year you were doing Orange Theory whenever and wherever you could. So before you went down the P90X route on the off season, what were you doing to stay in shape nutritionally and fitness wise when you're on the road?
On the road, I guess because I was so like earlier this year, I guess, right when the gyms stopped accepting people and shutting down. I think it was more or less just the road I grew up on is like exactly 1 mile long. So I could kind of gauge what I was doing. I would run around the yard, just random stuff. I'd look up programs and do, like, I made my own ab workouts, like 13 minutes. So I try to do it every other day. And as far as plus when I had that job, I mean, it was physical labor. I was working 6, 7, 8 hours a day, just kind of nonstop lifting and gardening and stuff. So it was kind of just life was my workout for a while, if that makes sense. Kind of just home gymming it up and staying on top of things and realizing what muscles and what exercises I needed to do that pertain to disc golf. Like not necessarily, oh, I got to go lift weights and I got to do 200 squats a day. Like, well, is that necessarily going to help my game or should I be focusing on more of like the stability of the muscles and ligaments and stuff like that? So I did some research.
That's called, so all the stuff that you were describing, like the gardening and the construction, all that kind of stuff, that's called non-exercise activity thermogenesis. It's called NEAT. And that's one of the most important things they say for just overall health, but also fat loss is just keeping, like, keeping your steps up to above 8,000 a day and just doing like laundry and cooking and like all the normal things that people do throughout the day, just staying active and on your feet.
Right.
So you sound like you're doing a great job.
I try to check. Even if it's just like, I'll just go walk. I did it once where I didn't get like 10,000 steps. So I walked out to my driveway and grabbed a book and just read a book and like walked up and down the driveway. And got my
10,000. Yep. Okay, my second question. So back on the regular line of questioning. we have a lot to talk about though when you come for Music City Open in a couple months.
So
obviously the gyms have closed down, but how has life changed otherwise on the road during COVID, like going out to restaurants and staying in hotels and that kind of thing?
Yeah, it was definitely, I had to prep way in advance for where I was going. And I've been staying in some Airbnbs, but I've also been staying in a few people's houses. So, but I've always asked the question, like, how are you with masks? Like, is this okay with you guys? Like, what are your cleanliness standards? My mom made me some masks, so I have ample amount to wear during the day. But I planned ahead and booked a bunch of Airbnbs because I didn't necessarily want to stay in hotels. I feel like that's just a lot of stuff gets overlooked in hotels, I think, as far as cleaning goes. But if you're staying in an Airbnb with just one room, I think that that's better taken care of. So I had to do that. Gym life has completely changed. I suspended my membership. So now it's just kind of, I mean, disc golf. I walked like 25 miles this past weekend because of the courses we played and how much I was playing. So after that, I'll just get home and like do some push-ups and stuff. So it's just kind of trying to stay on top of that. But I think the health thing, I don't eat out that much anymore. If I do, I go through a quick drive-through. I'll still wear a mask. I'll use hand sanitizer because you just never know. Like, I hate to say I'm overly cautious, but what's the harm in being overly cautious? Nothing. I mean, you spend a couple extra bucks on hand sanitizer. So I've been cooking a lot more, and it's fun. And I actually planned to stay at places that have kitchens that I can use, so that I can meal prep and not go out all the time. It is weird though to not be like, man, I just want to go and get a burger and fries and sit down and have a cold beer, and then be like, oh, I can't do that, but I could still do that at the house. It's just going to take a little bit more effort.
I mean, so it sounds like you're staying in spots more. You were in an RV or van for a while, right?
I was. In 2018, I bought a Road Trek, which is a van RV conversion. Right. And that was great. I loved it. It was so easy to just pull over and park somewhere and fall asleep. I had everything in there that I needed. I had running water, a stove, a toilet, like fridge. So that it didn't make sense for me, for one person, financially. And it was a little bit older of a van, so stuff was starting to potentially go wrong mechanically with it. So I just opted to forego it, try the car travel for the first half of 2019, and it worked out well. So I just kept the van stowed at my parents' house and did the car life stuff, which was easier last year because you didn't have to think so much. You could stay at hotels or Airbnbs, and it does get expensive, but I work my butt off in the off season to pay for all of it. So I can spend a little bit more during the season because I know I can pay it off. The credit card or two that I have, I can pay it off in the off season. And then car life this year is definitely different. I got a little a topper, they call it a hat, for my car, for Xander. So I keep all my camping gear up there and extra stuff that I don't need that's not gonna really go bad in the sun. So it's left a lot more room. I've minimalized a bunch of stuff. I live out of bins, which I love. Everything's in its place. I'm super organized, even though my parents would tell you that I'm not. So it's been great. Yeah, and everybody's been super hospitable and understanding of what we're going through. And yeah, as long as you're courteous and respectful of what's going on, I feel like people are okay with it.
Yeah. What kind of car is it that you're in now?
I got a 2013 Mazda 3 hatchback.
Okay, so that's
the military.
That's definitely a smaller car. You and like Madison probably have two of the smaller cars out there.
I would say so. AJ Risley too. Yeah, I think we kind of.
That's right. AJ's got the Prius.
Life it up, and Madison, if you're listening to this, get your windows tinted. because not only can people see stuff that's in your car, it damages stuff more and it gets so hot in the car. Just get your windows tinted, Madison, please.
There you go. Pro tip.
Yeah, tips from pros.
So I mean, looking at like the evolution of your game and everything, like it's clear at least just by your rating that hitting the road for the most part, you know, you've trended upward consistently in at least your player rating since really committing to hitting the road. But how much do you feel like actually committing to this lifestyle has impacted your game?
Immensely. I know that when I started in 2018 full-time touring in the van, I literally said to myself, this is going to be a fun year. I'm going to go play everything and whatever happens, happens. I had no goals, no aspirations. I didn't practice during the season. Like I barely practiced in the off season. It was my first year not working, like having an actual job since like seventh grade. So I was like, I'm just going to go and have fun. This is my mini like retirement in the middle of my life. And I did, and I didn't treat it the right way. And so 2019 was a little bit better, but this year, I don't know. I can't tell you exactly what happened. I had a bit of a mental reset and reevaluated like what I'm doing. I'm a bit older than some of the FPO field out there. I think that in a couple more years, I'm not sure if I'm going to be full-time touring anymore. So I wanted to make the most out of it while my mind, my body, like everything was still functioning at the top. And yeah, I've been reading a lot and some, I guess not really self-help books, but books that focus on mental exercises and how you should view things. And yeah, I mean, it'd be great to win, but as long as my game gets better and I'm still having fun out there, then I'm winning.
That's like the quote of the interview. I love it. We're just going to stop there. I'm just kidding.
somebody cross-stitched that on a pillow.
Winning. So what are you looking to improve on? Do you have like set goals for, I don't know, we've got all the stats that we've available to us on UDisc now. Do you have any kind of like putting goals or place goals at different events, anything like that?
I don't think place. I always kind of like before going into event, look at how I did last year and be like, all right, just don't do worse than last year as far, not necessarily in the place that I did or like how I shot, especially if the course is the same and hasn't changed. If I'm doing worse, then something is off. If I'm shooting worse than I had in years past, because you should just progressively, it just makes sense. You should be getting better. So my putting feels good right now. It doesn't feel great. And I've been working on my backhand. And most people, I don't know if they know, but I'm predominantly forehand. I love it. It's taken a toll on my body, though. I actually have a bit of an issue with my leg going on right now I'm taking care of. But I think having backhand and forehand is ideal and almost necessary for some of the top pros. Not 100% necessary. But, I mean, even we see Sarah Hokum. She has posted she's working on her backhand. I got to see her throw it this past tournament at Silver Cup. Like, it looks great. You know, you put in the time, you're going to get the results. So I'm trying to put in the time with my short game, especially 200, 250 feet with mid ranges and putters. That's what I'm working on, because if I get comfortable in that zone, I know that no matter what happens off the tee, I can at least scramble to get up there, save a par and move on. So it's nice to have that confidence within that range.
I'm glad you brought up Silver Cup. Obviously you had a strong performance there. You were finishing in a three-way tie for second, final round league card. You know, walk us through how was that final round? What was your mindset at? And then also, like, you know, what was it? I mean, what's it like kind of being in the battle, but also like watching the battle? It's probably not every day that, you know, you're on a card where Paige Pierce gets ousted almost, you know what I mean? So, I mean, like, kind of walk us through just your take on the whole situation, I guess.
Yeah, I'll start by saying for the tournament, I had a game plan. I went out and practiced, and I think this was Simon Lazat. He posted a video where he was saying like how he practices. He practices, but he gets a birdie on every hole so that he knows he can get a birdie. So the way I practiced was that if I knew a birdie was possible, I practiced until I got it. So on every single hole out there, I knew I could get a birdie or at very least a par on some of the tougher ones or the further ones. So going into it, if I stepped up to hole, I'm like, I know how I've done in this hole, so I know it's possible. And I just kept that mindset the whole weekend. And it was just unfortunate that on the last day, I could not buy a birdie. I was trying to play conservative. And at that point, I'd gotten so far into the round, I was like, I don't have any birdies. So if I get a bogey now, I'm going to go over par. I was like, so maybe I should just try to play for par. It was a weird mindset. And somebody actually told me after the round, like a couple days later, messaged me. And he's a coach and everything. And he heard me say that I never looked at the score. And he recommended that I should have looked at the score. I should have known where I was because I didn't. I just kind of was like, well, I feel like I've done okay. I know that these ladies are battling. I can tell by the way that the reactions are. And I knew when Paige looked at her phone on hole 17 that it was close, but I didn't know how close. So I messaged one of my friends and I was like, all right. I was like, can you just tell me? Don't tell me anything. Just tell me if I'm in at least top 10. That was all I really cared about at that point, not knowing where I was at. And then they were like, if you had only made that putt on 16B and then 17, like you could have been tied for first. I'm like, yeah, but then you don't know what would have happened after that. Maybe I made those and I was feeling really confident going into 18 and I tried too hard to do something and then double bogeyed or something. Like, you never know. You got to play hole by hole. It was very exciting. Congrats to the winner. I won't spoil it because maybe not everybody's seen it. But yeah, it was so much fun to play with Paige Pierce. And I mean, she had some struggles, but I mean, we're human. We all do. And she still mentally, like, she just kind of, she kept going. She didn't blow up or anything, you know, and she finished it like a true athlete would. And it was fun. It was fun to be a part of that crowd. Yeah.
We need to give you some props too. The second round, I believe, was the highest rated round you've ever thrown. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I couldn't believe it. Like my sister and my brother, we were all like refresh on the PDGA page that night. And they kept texting me. They're like, it's not out. And I was like, I know, I keep checking. And then it finally dropped and it was just, we had like a mini celebration. I couldn't believe it either. I mean, I knew that I had shot well and that's what I knew I could do out there. It was like just around what my practice round was. I was like, yeah, I knew I could do that. And then to find out how high it was rated, I was like.
What was the rating exactly?
That was 992.
Woo! 992, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. You know, I still have yet to get that 1,000, but that'll come.
It's coming.
I also really appreciate, and I messaged you after this, but I really appreciated your and Holly's commentary. I think you guys did a really good job. So cool.
I laugh because we did it the next morning, every morning we went to the Lighthouse Inn and we did the commentary. And I was honored to do it because we had fun doing it last year. And so it was fun to see her again this year. And I feel like we have a good vibe going on and we joke around and stuff. But it was interesting. I had never read the reviews. If you go on YouTube,
Don't do that.
Well, I wanted to like improve on some things because I realized how many times I actually said spoiler alert the first time. I was like, all right, that would annoy me. But it was interesting to see just how, I don't even know if cruel is the right word, just so ignorant people can be in the comments.
I could have told you that.
Like, they aren't commentators. They should just stick to disc golf. And I was like, yeah, no, duh, we're not commentators. Like, if you don't want to listen to it, don't listen to it. Like, and they're like, they're not big German. I'm like,
You're not.
You know how I will say Big Germ is notorious for going and reading the comments to.
I learned a lot.
As a way to try and improve.
When we did, I feel like that third round, we were super clean. I hope we didn't talk too much. I still haven't listened to it or watched it. And I feel like we didn't like talk too much over the players. And yeah, it helped me improve. So thanks to all you haters out there and the lovers. We appreciate the comment.
I got a comment right here. It says the play and commentary are phenomenal.
Yeah, you
Thank
get those.
You commentators you for a happy and joyful moment. So there you go. Yeah, I think, you know, hey, it's good though. It's good that you're willing to learn. I remember like the first time I did commentary and that's like, scary to go and read the comments, but then also, yeah, you end up repeating yourself somehow. You don't realize it because it's just moving so fast. I think mine was like dial up, like he's going to dial up this shot.
Oh yeah.
Was what I said a lot.
The first time I did commentary was like 2016, and I still have yet to go back to read the comments. I will not, because I will focus on like one bad comment and like 100.
No, I just came up with a good segment for the show. You're going to read them.
I believe the first time I did it, it was like Pittsburgh World, possibly. It was with Terry Miller.
That would be 15 then.
And I was very 2015. I was very nervous. I was very, very
No, we'll do this. We'll do this on an off week when there's like not an interview. We'll do like the disc golf version of celebrities reading mean tweets. We'll go and read the comments from our old YouTube comment, because you neither of us do.
I have
YouTube
two other commentary. Things that we could pick apart. Not that I want to do this, but we could also listen back to our first episode of the show.
Oh, that'd
it
be bad.
Horrendous. On my part, it was horrendous. And then also, I had the worst round of my life at Delaware Disc Challenge 2 years ago.
We need to do a rewatch and a commentary of it, like a live rewatch commentary.
I'm sure it would mostly be like pity comments, though. Like, oh my god, why did this girl get put on the...
No, like I don't even want to do card. Like, here's what we need to do. We need to like live stream you and I
reactions,
watching it,
yeah,
and doing commentary. Yeah,
my face is very, very red.
Thank you. Sorry, Ellen. We're getting way off track.
Okay.
From our,
from our interview. So you've got D-Glo coming up. That's why you're in Michigan right now. So what D-Glo? That course is extremely different than the course that you played for Silver Cup. What is your game plan there? How many rounds have you gotten in? And where's your mind at?
I got one round in on Saturday, and then I played 11 hours of disc golf on Sunday for a C tier that I don't want to talk about because it was insane. Shout out to the TD for that, for maintaining stability, because it was rough. I played it once on Saturday. I haven't played it since, because after the weekend, my leg has been weirdly swollen. I don't really know what's going on. So I'm taking a couple days off. I plan on going out tomorrow, and kind of like I did for Silver Cup, come up with a plan, play the hole. A lot of them for me, not birdies aren't really a viable option. I just can't seem to get the distance, and throwing uphill and downhill are still a little bit weird for me. So I'm going to focus on my form throwing uphill, because there are a lot of uphill shots, and just try to placement, go for par. Birdies are great. Par is good. And yeah, try to do the same thing every day. And I think the weather's supposed to be nice. So, but you never know. You never know what'll happen. But yeah, I'm excited. I think I finished like sixth or tied for sixth last year.
Can I offer a suggestion? If your leg is feeling better, obviously. I don't want you to injure yourself. But you did the whole P90X thing, right?
Yeah.
So I think what you really have to do is like what's the first hole with the real big uphill there? Is it hole three?
Two is the uphill, three is the downhill.
Okay. So right out of the gates, hole two, you just need to sprint up the hill just to intimidate the rest of the card and show them that you mean business. And they're going to be like, oh my God, I can't keep up with this woman. And you just got to get in their heads.
I can do that.
You should definitely do that.
Bag on and everything. I know you can do it. Let's do it.
Oh man. Maybe I should just go run the hills instead of playing disc golf out there, just so I'm conditioned enough. And then I'll do that. Maybe I should do that.
I mean, that might be the trick, right? The conditioning is such a huge factor at this course, I feel like.
That's true, yeah. And the heat, but I think we'll be all right. Yeah.
You can just watch Macbeth's 18 under video to get some inspiration. That's how you get all the birdies. Yeah. Watch that video. You'll know where to
place I'll try
your
to
shot.
Do that.
I don't like to go play disc golf after I watch a video like that.
I was going to say lines, I was like, that's actually really depressing. So
it is a little bit demoralizing.
It's inspiring, but whatever.
Yeah, okay. I guess
it's all about outlook.
It depends on your take. Yeah, there you go. So I mean, Ellen, I know a lot of people obviously like maybe they don't kind of know your backstory, just in starting your career in disc golf a little later because you were in the military. But I want to know, do you ever miss that career, that lifestyle? Or are you like, nah, I'm good with what I'm doing?
I do miss the flying. I used to go on missions all over the world. I really miss the camaraderie of the crews, and honestly, like, some of the shenanigans we would get into out on the road, you know, that makes for really good memories. And I miss that. I don't miss, I mean, there's politics everywhere, but some of the stuff that would just happen when you weren't on the road wasn't exactly all that much fun. I didn't like sitting at an office job behind a desk when I wasn't, and it just wasn't for me. I was like, I don't want to do this for 10 more years, you know? So I miss certain aspects of it, but certain aspects in disc golf are also, I still get to travel and there's camaraderie and I get to meet new people. Yeah, so a little bit, I guess, is the answer.
No, that's cool. I've always just been kind of, you know, it's been a couple years since you started doing this. I mean, I remember how I first started talking to you was, I got to learn about that. So it's always kind of interested me. The one other thing I want to ask you before we let you go is, you know, I always remember after we did that interview, you were very sweet and you brought me a very delicious Belgian beer.
I think my sister let me know that you really liked beer or something. Somebody mentioned it to me.
I think we maybe talked. I don't remember. Honestly.
We may have talked. You mentioned
it. Sarah can have the credit. But so I want to know, and especially because you're up in like the upper Midwest, which is really a big like craft beer scene. Although I know you can't really go to like breweries and stuff right now, but like, what is the best beer that you have enjoyed lately?
Oh my goodness. Well, it wasn't actually from up here. It was down in Florida.
That's okay. We'll take it.
It was, and I don't remember the brewery. I know it's really bad.
No, you're really not helping.
It was just one of those stops. I could probably look it up on my app, but it was like it was a stout, but it was a coconut stout, and the coconut just came through like so well. I can't even describe to you how smooth it was. I don't like saying the C word because it gives me the heebie-jeebies, but it was really smooth and creamy.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I don't remember the brewery though, but it kind of stinks. Up here though, I've had a couple of the New Glarus in Wisconsin.
Yeah, they're really big up there. Yeah,
the Spotted Cow is such, it's so easy to drink, and it's like, you know, one of their base ones. I really enjoy that just for casual, just hot outside, just grab a Spotted Cow. Yeah, I'd recommend that to anybody.
Very cool. Well, hey, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. And yeah. I think we need to have Ellen back for maybe one of these rewatches that we do. Maybe she can be like the host.
That would be funny.
I would love that.
You are my.
Are you gonna do? Do you have more? Do you have more commentary gigs lined up soon? Do you know?
I don't, but I told Terry Miller that if he needed me this year, I would love to do it because I have fun doing commentary, and I'm learning a lot. And you're only gonna get better doing it the more you do it. So I'd like to keep my toe in the water. But I mean, it helps when you get on, if I get on the lead card too, because then it's kind of like, well, I got a 2-4 shot of hopefully doing commentary. So
there you go. Well, hey, with that note, then good luck. And hopefully we'll see you on it this weekend.
Yeah. I'll see you guys hopefully on the road.
Yep.
We'll be all right. For you. Thanks, Ellen. That was Ellen Woodboom. And we'll be back in just a moment on PDJ Radio. Sarah, we forgot to do the lightning round with Ellen, and I feel really bad about it.
I do too. I swore, like I said, mushy brain, I swore that we had her on before. I cannot believe I'm like embarrassed and shocked that we haven't. She's my disc golf wife.
I was going to say, I think we just talk about her so much that it probably felt like we'd had her on. So look, Ellen, you're just going to have to come back on. That's all it comes down to.
I agree.
She'll just have to come on again. Maybe she'll go and win Deagle this weekend. We can have her on next week, just back to back.
Let's do it.
That'd be awesome. I would love to see that happen. Before we talk Discraft Great Lakes Open, let's do the Birdie Fuel Hot Rounds. Sarah, how hot were the rounds this weekend?
They were incredibly hot. So,
ooh, yeah, they were. Wow.
Yeah, on the women's side, it was crazy. So Macy Walker made the hot rounds list for FPO again. And I've mentioned her a few times. She's made the list several times already this year, but she's out in Knoxville, Tennessee, East Tennessee area. She shot a super hot 976 her first round at the 2020 Tommy Shumpert Open, powered by Prodigy in Knoxville, to take first place at that event. And I don't remember, she won that by quite a few strokes and was under par. And I've played that event before, and that's not an easy course.
So, not an easy under par course.
Yeah, props to her. Good job, Macy. It's awesome.
Very cool.
And her rating went up substantially as well, so super cool. Also shooting a 976 this past weekend was Owen Scoggins during her second round at the 26th annual Frying Pan presented by PRPLEI Purplay?
Purplay?
Power Play? I don't know. that was in Tracy, California, and she finished in first place at that event. There was a fair number of women at that event, too. So congratulations. Happy to see Owen continuing to kill it out there. The next was another woman that I love to play with, Michelle Frazier. She played at the Stafford Short Shorts in Voorhees, New Jersey, shooting a 984, her first round to take first place. She shot like, I want to say like 20-something under par.
Nice.
That was amazing. Great shooting there, Michelle. And then we've got Kristen Tatar, who played at the EDGL Kari Kasari in Estonia. I'm not even
going
to attempt to pronounce the rest of that. She's had a 985 her first round to take first place at that event.
Nice.
Jennifer Allen played in the AZDGA Presents 20th Top of Pines at Wilderness Ranch, powered by Discraft in Lakeside, Arizona, shooting a really hot 995 her second round to take first place. Congrats on that. And that wasn't even the highest rated round.
Our
highest rated female round continues, or usually is over 1,000 at this point. It's just what the level of competition has gotten us to. And that was Sayananda shooting 1,003 at the Ladies of the Lake event in Seattle, Washington, her second round to take first place.
Very cool.
Just incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Over on the MPO side, we had some pretty solid rounds as well. Austin Hoop out at the Frying Pan shot a 1068 rated first round, and he won that event. Nicely done. The 10th annual Severin Lang Memorial was one of the bigger A tiers going on. This was over in Indiana, and Logan Bowers shot a 1069 rated second round, and that only got him into a tie for eighth place. Dang, man.
Yeah,
he
was tied for first with Ricky Wysocki after two rounds, and then he had a pretty rough third round.
Ah, bummer.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hey, still 1069. Nothing to shake a fist at. By the way, Ricky Wysocki, back-to-back A-tier wins. Wonder if he can roll that into a third in a row this week at D-Glo. We'll talk about that in a minute. Chris Clemens, 1071 rated second round. He came in second place at the Twin Town Throwdown up in Minnesota. Dallin Blanchard shot a 1083 rated second round to win the Grove Classic sponsored by ICCU out in Blackfoot, Idaho. And our hottest rated round came at the Clash of the Canyons 4 in Lockport, Illinois. This was from Ezra Adderhold with a 1092 rated second round to win that event. And I believe I saw Nate Perkins was posting about Ezra's performance at this. And just how impressive it was. He ended up blasting the field, ended up winning by 8. And I mean, we're talking, we had a field with Philo Brathwaite, Nicola Castro, Noah Meinsma, Cam Messerschmidt, quite a field there. Obviously Ezra is one of those young up and comers. So keep an eye on that kid, man. 23 under par performance for the weekend. Very nicely done. So those are the hot rounds presented by Birdie Fuel Coffee. You can go to birdiefuelcoffee.com, use the code PGARadio at checkout, and get yourself 10% off your order. And Sarah, I know you just said you got some coffee.
I did. I got a big box delivered today. I ordered, so they're running a special on bundles, and I ordered the FPO bundle, FPO triple bundle. And that is Sarah Hokum, Missy Gannon, and Kristen Tatar's coffee all together for $33. And then I also ordered, I ordered a single of our coffee, Hot Round, but our coffee is also included in the USDGC Champ Bundle with Steve Brinster, as well as the Media Bundle with Gatekeeper Media. Playing for par coffee.
Nice.
Yeah. So
nice.
Head over there. They're doing some awesome stuff on sale and these really cool.
Did you say three bags for $33?
Yep.
That's a steal.
I know. I had to.
Coffee isn't cheap, people.
Yeah. And all of this, or most of these coffees, is, you know, going to help a lot of these people on tour. So I always want to help the ladies on tour, and that's a lot of their coffee sounded really tasty. And as soon as I opened that box, I was like, oh my God, I don't know which one I'm going to try first. So
did you decide yet? Did you open one up?
No, it was late in the day when I got it. So,
who is it? It's Sarah Hokum, Kristen Tatar, and Missy Gannon.
Yep. I'm actually really interested in Missy Gannon's. It's funny enough called Mixed Bag, and there it's dark and light roast.
Oh,
so I'm pretty excited about that. Yeah.
We'll see. I was going to suggest Sarah Hokum if you go by ratings order.
The sidearm special. Yeah. We'll see. I'm excited.
Very cool. Awesome. All right. So, hey, this weekend we've got the Discraft Great Lakes Open. This has become one of the staples on the Disc Golf Pro Tour. Very well known for the toboggan course, very hilly, very warm, 9,800 foot par 62 for the MPO. And I believe it's clocking in at, just under 8,400 for, FPO as well. And obviously, if you know anything about this tournament, it is where Paul McBeth shot the 18 under par. I guess, gosh, that was 2 years ago now?
Yeah, I was just watching the video right before this to kind of refresh my brain on it.
Well, tell us about it. What do you remember, Sarah? Take us down memory lane.
Well, so I was kind of fast-forwarding a little bit, but he had one eagle and one par, so there's lots of debate about whether it was the quote perfect round or not. But this course is just extremely elevated, and there's a lot. I was kind of going through it quickly just to see some of the shot shapes, and that's really the biggest takeaway from this course is there's tons of elevation change, so you're throwing like straight up or straight down hills. And I was just watching the shot shapes, and there's a lot of turnover shots. There's some big pine trees. There's a lot of the rough is extremely rough. Hole 18, there's some very challenging OB on the left side. There's some tunnel shots. It's got something for everybody. And like what we talked to Ellen about, it really takes a lot of stamina. This course is, if you compare it to a course like what was played at Silver Cup, completely different, like night and day. So we'll see who ends up on top this weekend. I'm really excited to watch it on my TV.
Yeah, I am too. And I honestly, you know, and I'm trying to figure out a way to be diplomatic. But I think this tournament really is going to be a test for some people and their conditioning after coming off of the break.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's, you know, obviously we're a couple weeks back in, you know, you had the Dynamic Disc Open. You had the Preserve, you had a boatload of people going to Silver Cup, and then some A-tiers in between. So hopefully now people kind of have their disc golf legs under them. But man, can you even imagine if this would have somehow been like the first one back? Like if the Pro Tour didn't spin up the DD Open and the Preserve, this would have been the first big one back. People would have been gassed. Oh, they're already going to be gassed.
Well, I don't know. It's like 91 degrees in Nashville with the humidity feeling like it's 100 degrees. I'm not sure what it is up there, but yeah.
I'm going to look up right now. I know the humidity gets fairly high right now. And, you know, it's as we're recording this, like 5:30 p.m. So take that for what it's worth. It's 80 degrees with 58% humidity. So
not terrible.
But over the weekend, 83, 87, potentially 89 with some rain on Sunday, 50% chance of scattered thunderstorms. That feels like summery though. Like it's going to be one of those like summer
refreshing
kind of storms.
Rains,
so hopefully
yeah.
not bad. But yeah, I think the physical conditioning that you need at this course is cannot be overstated. So I think, you know, that's something to keep in mind when you're looking at this event and seeing who might perform well. Making your picks, doing things like that. Obviously, there is going to be the usual slate of media. You can watch it all live on the Disc Golf Network. And I do want to remind people, like if you are into live disc golf and are a PDGA member, you do get a discount on the Disc Golf Network subscription. So make sure you take advantage of that because it's a very, very good deal. If you're not into the live thing and you want to go watch it at a different pace, that's fine too. We've got Jomez Pro on the MPO lead card, GK Pro There's a lot of pros out there, man. GK Pro on the FPO lead, and then Gatekeeper Media doing the MPO chase. Eliza Van Lannen's going to be doing photography. So we've got our usual slate of media there. And obviously you can get live scoring through UDisc Live. And yeah, there's going to be plenty of action going on, Sarah. I think it's, you know, it should be a good one. We're really getting back into the thick of the season and like the heat of the summer. And that's really, it's really going to be a test, I think.
I agree. So. All right. I'm looking at our picks, and I actually got a couple of points on you this past, or I guess a couple weekends ago with Silver Cup.
Oh, you did. Nicely done.
So let me just go over those real fast. So you picked Paige Pierce to win. I picked Hokum. We both got zero for that.
Can we time out for a second? Like, so we talked, like one of our run or layup things was like Paige Pierce is going to win all of the rest of the events that she's in this season. Did we? I can't remember. We might have to go back and run the tape. Did we say Disc Golf Pro Tours?
Yeah. And this was like their junior, one of their junior events.
It was Silver Series. So I think we're still in the clear.
Okay. All right. Let's see. All right. So you took Conrad to win. I took Heimberg to win. We both got zeros for that. You chose Holly Finley for top five and Kevin Jones for top five. You got zeros for both of them. And then I chose Missy Gannon and Emerson Keith for top five. So I got 1 point for each of them, which puts me at 12 points. You are still at 20 and the listeners are at 13.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, That's so it
is my turn to pick first.
And you go first. Ooh, advantage, Sarah.
I hope so. All right, so I'm very clearly going to go Paul McBeth and Paige Pierce.
Man, really, really good ones. Okay, that's fine. I already know my FPO pick. I'm going to take Sarah Hokum because she, granted, this was in 2018 and Paige Pierce was not in attendance, but she has won here before. She is showing great improvement. And, you know, as we talked about with her rating, so I kind of like her as the next, top contender right now, in line with Paige, especially knowing that she can do it at this course. So, I don't think the length really is going to be too big of a, problem. So the MPO side is where it really gets tricky because, you know, we've seen Calvin Heimberg show out. We've seen Simon and Eagle on lead cards. We got Dickerson. This is gonna count as our Chris Dickerson segment talking about Chris Dickerson.
Yes.
Kevin Jones last year was runner up at this event, I believe, if I recall correctly. So there's definitely you've got the advantage with Paul being the back to back winner. I'm gonna hope for him not getting a three-peat so that I can help out in the points. And I just, you know what? I really liked what I saw out of Simon Lizotte the other week, just at the preserve, being able to just go and, you know, throw. And I think this course is, yes, it's more elevated. And yes, they did tighten it up quite a bit after McBeth obliterated it the other year. But I do think that this is a spot where Simon can come out and throw quite a bit. So I'm going to go with Simon Lizotte.
I like that.
All right.
I'm going to go for top five with somebody else that you mentioned, and that's Eagle McMahon. I think he's still working on getting comfortable in his season, but I mean, he's got all the shots. He can air it out. I think he's comfortable with the shot shaping and the elevation change. I mean, being from Colorado, he knows how to do all of that stuff, elevation, all that kind of thing. So I'm going with Eagle for my top five MPO.
Okay.
And then, FPO, I'm going to go. Oh, we got Heather Young on the list.
Yep.
Man. And she's, I mean, being from Tennessee, East Tennessee, she's used to playing on some elevation as well. I'm going to go Heather Young for my top five.
All right. I like it. Let's do it. So my top five MPO, I'm going back and forth between Kevin Jones and Calvin Heimberg because they both came top five last year and they're both, you know, excellent lately. I'm struggling here. I'm gonna give the nod here to Calvin because I just think he's been so consistent lately. So I like Calvin Heimberg for the top five showing. He came in second place out at the Silver Cup, and I think that he's right up there in like the top two or three always right now. The FPO side, it gets a little more. Actually, no, it doesn't. What am I talking about? It's probably Katrina Allen, right?
Yep.
I admittedly, I haven't dove into the rest of the women's field quite as much.
It's big. 32 women.
It is. It's 32 person field. We got Vanessa Van Dyke showing up, which is great.
Yep.
Also, a little early on the shout outs, but shout out to Hannah Macbeth for damn near knocking off 5-time world champion Elaine King over the weekend. Came up one shot short. And then I don't know if you saw Elaine absolutely savage Hannah on social media in the sweetest possible way. Obviously Hannah was in on that. And this is just what Elaine does. I remember when Val Jenkins won her fourth world title and Elaine congratulated her on video by showing off her 5 titles. It was great. She's very good at this. Yeah. Anyway, I'm stalling on my FPO top 5. I actually want, it's my contrarian nature's coming in, but just, I'm going to go Katrina Allen. Okay. I have to.
I already put it in the spreadsheet, so. Yeah,
I know. We do have some listener picks. Our homie Andrew Lockridge is back because he is our go-to guy. Thank you, Andrew. And I'm sorry that the other listeners haven't been messaging us at radio@pdj.com. to knock you off of your throne of listener pick champion. But Andrew's gonna go Paul Macbeth winner, Ricky Wysocki top 5, Paige Pierce winner, and Heather Young top 5. There you go. So should be a good tournament. Again, it's the Discraft Great Lakes Open. We're at the Toboggan in Milford, Michigan. You can watch it all live on the Disc Golf Network and in post-production from all the channels that you love so much. So should be a good one this weekend. Sarah, do we have a couple of run it or lay up options today?
We do. And I'm excited about a couple of them.
You're excited about a couple of them. Okay. So mine, I'll start with the one that I really put on the list here.
Okay.
So what I kind of do in the run it or lay up world, because I admit like, when I'm not paying attention to disc golf stuff, I've kind of just been paying attention to like news and politics lately, which isn't exactly super uplifting or run it or lay it up worthy for this program.
Yeah.
So I go and like Google pop culture stuff. And the first thing that came up to me today was that this article about the show Grey's Anatomy and how it was going to address the coronavirus this year. And I was like, I thought I was in a time warp or something because I thought Grey's Anatomy was off the air like 10 years ago. Apparently this show has had 17 seasons.
Wow.
17 seasons. I had no idea. I'd be curious to hear if there are any listeners who are hardcore Grey's Anatomy fans or if everyone else was like me and was like, this show's still a thing. So, my run it or layup for you, Sarah, is kind of inspired by this. 17 years is too long for a single television program. Run it or lay up.
Well, specifically to Grey's Anatomy, it was never a thing to me. I think it came on at the point in my life where I was just like, oh, if something's popular, then I automatically don't want to have anything to do with it. Yeah, the 17 years ago.
You got your hipster vibe going?
No, I wasn't hipster. I was like a straight hardcore hippie. And so I was like anti-establishment. Oh yeah, Birkenstocks, fish concerts, tie-dye.
I hate to break it to you, but Birkenstock is a massive company.
Oh, I know this. I know this.
Okay.
So I think it came about, what was that, like late high school? Early college.
I was gonna say, that's the thing, 17 years. It's been a thing forever.
Yeah. So it was never a thing to me then. But you're saying generally like 17
generally years 17 years too long for a television program.
Absolutely not, because there are TV shows that I like. Okay, Queer Eye, I hope there's a season of that every year of my life until the year that I die.
Okay.
And then also How to Get Away with Murder. I'm super big on that right now. It's just so unrealistic, and there's just.
So those are more reality based, right? Those aren't scripted.
No. How to Get Away with Murder. It's like an ABC drama.
Oh, is it?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It just depends on the show. Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Give me all of the seasons.
No way, dude.
Excuse me. You're talking
17 years of that show.
Yes.
Oh,
it depends on the show, but Grey's Anatomy, you've run your course. Goodbye.
I'm running this one. 17 years for any television show. Too long.
Okay.
South Park, Simpsons, all those. Oh. Even the ones that manage to still stay kind of relevant.
Come on.
Time to move on, people.
I'm traditional sometimes. I don't know. If I like a good show, I just want it to keep going forever and ever.
See, I don't know. Maybe I just haven't. The show that I watched like the longest was like Scrubs, and even that one went on for a season too long. The other show that my wife and I really got into until the whole time, How I Met Your Mother, and they ruined that show. So forgive me. I don't have a lot of faith in shows to really be able to exist well for that long.
Okay. That's fair.
I'm being specific, I'm talking about scripted stuff. Monday Night Football has technically been on for like 30 odd years or something, right? That's different. Okay, next one, Sarah, what do we got?
All right. Chunky peanut butter is everything. I am running this.
Oh yeah, easy run.
If you know me, I like to have different textures in anything that I eat. Like, I can't just eat a bowl of, I don't know. I can't just eat a bowl of ice cream. It has to be ice cream, either with like a chunky mix in, or like some pretzels on top, or like chips on top. Or
do you ever do Magic Shell? If you had Magic Shell, it's that stuff. Yeah, it's like chocolate that freezes onto it. Yeah,
I haven't had that since I was a jam. Kid. But ooh, yeah. So things like that. So chunky, is everything. Running that.
I'm running that one as well. I will say though that lately I have been in the smooth peanut butter department, only because I just haven't wanted to buy two peanut butters. I'm the only one in this house who is eating crunchy.
Yeah.
And if I eat, like, my peanut butter is like one of my downfalls. Like, I could sit and
jar.
Yeah. And so I had to kind of, as a matter of self-preservation during quarantine, just, you know, stick with the smooth peanut butter so that my wife and daughter will also eat it. And, save myself from becoming 400 pounds due to
and the only peanut butter that I will eat is natural peanut butter, like Smucker's natural.
Oh, get out.
No sugar. It's just peanuts and a little bit of salt. I think peanut butter with sugar in it tastes absolutely disgusting because I haven't had it in 20 years.
I haven't had the Smucker's hippie.
Oh my god,
peanut butter.
Or the best is when you go to like Kroger or your local grocery store and you grind it yourself. Or you just grind it yourself.
What?
Yeah, dude. They have machines. You just turn it on. You have a little, I mean, now with COVID, I'm sure this is.
Sarah, it's the year 2020. I am not grinding my own peanut butter.
So good. It's so good.
You churn your own butter while you're at it?
It'll change your life.
Do you make your own ice cream too?
No, I eat a lot of Halo Top and Enlightened. It's really good.
I've tried the Halo Top. It's
okay. Enlightened is way better. It's way creamier and has a more like ice creamy texture. Halo Top gets very icy.
I would agree with that. We need to have Ellen back on because I think we just used the word creamy like three
creamy.
Times.
Creamy. Okay. Last one.
You got one more here.
I have one more that I'm extremely passionate about because I am currently covered in these things. Chigger bites are disc golf's worst byproduct. Run this all day.
Here's the deal. I'm going to lay it up because I couldn't tell you what a chigger is because I don't think we have them in California.
You do. I looked it up right before this and everything.
Okay. Well, I don't experience them personally. Granted, I'm not trying to be the guy who's like, oh, I don't experience it, so it doesn't affect me. That's not how I live my life.
However,
I have another option of disc golf's worse or a worse byproduct than chigger bites. And that would be the very real issue of Lyme disease because there are a lot of ticks out on courses. So I'm going to lay up chigger bites, but I imagine they're very uncomfortable.
Yes. Well, I find in our yard, I find fleas, not fleas, ticks on me, not fleas, t- ticks on me like every single day, and we have to check our dogs all the time. So I'm.
Do you have the deer ticks there that like have Lyme? Yeah.
I believe so. Yeah. I mean, we find them all the time. Okay, I just want to read to you for people like you who don't know what chiggers are and have never had
educate
them.
Me.
All right, here's just an excerpt of something that I found on the interwebs. Adult chiggers don't bite. It's the babies called larvae that you have to watch out for. They're red, orange, yellow, or straw colored. No more than 0.3 millimeters long. So very, very difficult.
You can't see them. They're invisible.
Once chiggers latch onto your pants or shirt, they crawl around until they find a patch of skin. There, they use sharp, jaw-like claws to make tiny holes. Next, they inject saliva that turns some of your cells into mush.
Sounds like nightmare fuel,
maybe,
man.
That's why my brain is mushy. But no, every summer, without fail, I get chiggers and poison ivy a lot of times in the same area. And they like to convene in, like, another great word people love, moist areas, like, for women, like, under your bra or, like, your underwear lines.
Yeah.
People get them, like, in their crotch area.
That's lovely.
Like, on my ankles. I got it everywhere. It's
tough. Well, number one, I'm very sorry because it does sound uncomfortable. So I have several questions. one, is there like, can you put spray on? Is this like a, you know, like you can put spray for ticks on you to at least try and keep away. Is that the same kind of thing?
So I use bug spray, but it doesn't seem to really help. I have this other stuff that's like, it's like a thick yellow sunscreen that's supposed to be just for chiggers. But I've tried putting it on before, like before a disc golf tournament on my legs, and it does not rub in. It leaves like,
well, yeah, that's probably it's probably just like slathering yourself in Vaseline,
yeah,
so they
like,
can't
like a yellow film on your skin. It's disgusting. So I
lovely. Okay.
I was like, I'd rather just itch to death.
I was gonna say, so like, how long does this last? Like, do you feel it as soon as they get you?
No. So it takes a couple days. At least for me, it takes a couple days to pop up, and then you get like red patches, and then I'm not sure if this is the chiggers or the poison ivy, but then I get like yellow, like pussy stuff that kind of comes out.
This show's getting gross today.
Yeah, it's really gross. If you live in, I guess it said online, in warmer climates, so in the Southeast, they're obviously a little bit more prevalent than where you live.
Okay. Yeah, no, I have not experienced them, knock on wood, thank you. But I do have one helpful suggestion for you to avoid them, Sarah.
Okay, what's that?
Keep your disc in the fairway. Because if you're not going off the fairway in a little taller brush.
I was doing tunnel shot practice at our house this past weekend. And of course, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm not a Paul McBeth or a Paige Pierce. I can't hit the tunnel.
I was going to say, Paul McBeth and Paige Pierce probably don't have chiggers.
Yeah, that's true.
But Paul McBeth does love him some poison ivy.
They are found. Yes, that's true. They're found in like long, unkempt grass. So
yeah,
as if you can, you know, keep your grass low and all of that and keep your disc in the fairway, then yeah, probably avoid them a little bit better than I have.
That'll help you. That'll be your incentive to throw straighter shots, Sarah. Don't get chiggers.
That's right.
Keep your shots in the fairway. Rules to live by here on PDJ Radio. That was a fun/disgusting segment, Sarah. Thank you for enlightening me.
Always.
And if I have nightmares tonight, it's your fault.
All right, good.
All right. All right, you got any shout outs before we go?
I don't think so.
Was I the only one who filled out shout outs this week? I'm taking,
I mean, I
you.
Have my birdie fuel bundles. That was my shout out.
Oh, okay. That's good. I have one that's a shout out and one that's kind of a weird
shout out to yourself.
Like, but it's kind of hilarious, I think. So anyway, my first shout out, hey, Hannah McBeth and Christine Jennings started a new podcast. It's called The Party, like party. And it's on the Disc Golf Network, and it was quite enjoyable. I think Hannah does a really nice job of leading the show, and it's awesome to have a couple more women in the media sphere. So if you need some more content to churn through, I don't know how people listen to podcasts as much as they do. There are too many podcasts.
Gosh, I can't.
I keep finding podcasts I want to listen to, and I can't.
Yeah, same.
But anyway, if you want some disc golf content and for some reason you haven't listened yet because we're educating you about who Hannah McBeth is, even though she's bigger than this show. So maybe this shout out isn't going the way I wanted it to, but Hannah's doing a really good job. She probably doesn't need our help for publicity, but I'm sure she appreciates it. And then my other shout out is not a shout out to myself so much, but it was kind of funny. So there's a disc golf blog called Parked. I'm sure some people have read it. And they put out an article yesterday about the best Twitter accounts to follow on disc golf. And this guy was on it above Hannah Macbeth on the list.
Ayo, she does without promoting.
But apparently. I think it was just in some random order or something. But the best part of this, and I appreciate being on the list. It's very fun. Disc golf Twitter is a lot of fun. If you're on there, I'm at 1 mile more. Go follow me and we'll banter. I will warn you that I don't talk about disc golf that much over there. But the best part of this is it wasn't like the top 5 or 10 like best Twitter accounts to follow for disc golf. It was like the top 85.
Nice. So like quite a few then.
Well, there is good. It's good. Like, but I like being on the list, but it was funny to me because it was like such a high number.
Yeah.
It's good though. And there's a lot of really great follows on disc golf Twitter. I'm the one person who did get left off, and I saw him, he was a little sad. It was Johnny V from Smashbox.
Oh, yeah.
He got left off the list, which go follow him. He's at JV Phobic. And I gotta find out what the phobic part is all about. Like,
I don't know.
Cause obviously the JV is, you know, his initials.
Well, you make our list, Johnny V.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Johnny V is good on Twitter. He, although he doesn't, at least when I'm seeing it, he more like replies to things. He doesn't like, initiate a lot of tweets.
Yeah.
But my favorite, I'll give my shout out. My favorite disc golf Twitter follow is Andrew Fish, hands down.
Oh, so yeah, yeah.
He's Fish. I should know his number. Is it like 58320? I should have this memorized. And I probably don't. But oh, hey, I had it.
Wow.
Good job, man. Fish 58320 on Twitter. Go follow him. He's good people. And you know, give Parked a follow. They're at a disc golf blog, or it's just Parked. Check it out. They're always putting out interesting surveys and articles and stuff like that. So anyway, less rambling. That I think is going to do it this week. Sarah, do we have anything else? Is that it?
That's it for me.
All right, cool. Well, hey, thank you again to Ellen Widboom for coming on the show. Thank you again to you, the listeners. Hit us up with any feedback, radio@pdj.com. Share the show with your friends and tell them to vote in the PDJ elections.
Or so we'll beat you.
I'm not going to do that. This is,
which you do not want.
I don't sanction any of this talk, Sarah. This is all off the grid here action. No, anyway, but please do be a part of things and vote if you are so inclined. And have fun out there on the course. Sarah, have fun watching the Great Lakes Open. And you know what I'm most excited about?
What?
For this tournament? I'm excited that I will be watching it and not walking up those hills.
Oh my gosh, me too. I'm about to go running.
Well, yeah, there's plenty of hills when I go running, but yeah. That's true. That's a good point. All right, so anyway, for Sarah Sinclair, I'm Steve Hill. This was PGA Radio. Be good to each other. Take care of yourselves, and we